Welcome to another episode of the Banking on Digital Growth podcast. I'm Audrey Cannata, operations lead here at the Digital Growth Institute. And today we are going to continue our conversation around website secret shopping studies, and particularly around patterns we have seen as to why financial brands may not be conducting these studies. And there are three reasons in particular that we're going to highlight for you today. But first, let's welcome James Robert Lay, founder and CEO of the Digital Growth Institute.
Hi, Audrey.
Hello, James Robert. Good to see you.
We're
matching in white.
We are. It is always good to see you, always good to share time. And it's just so funny when we actually end up wearing the white or the black or the red or whatever the basic color that we have on for the day.
It is. So we're going to be really in sync today. Before we get started, what is going well for you professionally or personally?
Well, I'd say personally, it is an experience that we recently shared with our family this year for the holidays. We did with our kids, we didn't gift them gifts. We gifted the 12 months of Christmas, and every month we're doing a family experience. And for this particular month, it was cookie decorating. And there's a lady in our neighborhood who started a small business out of her kitchen, doing these amazing cookies. Not only do they taste good, they're absolutely beautiful. And within the past year, she started hosting these cookie classes. And so it's something that my wife has been wanting to do, with the kids. And so that was our very first experience. And I learned a lot. I learned about doing borders and how to flood the cookie with icing. And cause I'm like, how does she make them look so good and just nice? And there's a technique and skill, and I learned a lot. I enjoyed it and could even probably take this up as a hobby, to be honest with you.
Okay, wonderful. So I'm going to have to request some holiday cookies, I think, next year. I want some homemade James Robert Lay icing design cookies.
Well, I will tell you, Delina will be the one who probably she will bake them and make them, and I will be the one who gets to ice them. And it'll be a good at-home collaboration. Maybe the kids will get to throw some in there as well. But let me tell you, their cookie creations are very unique and very creative.
I'm sure. Probably pretty telling to their personalities.
Very, very much so.
Well, I love this. And thank you for sharing. I think it's such a wonderful idea to really start focusing more on experiences versus presents and, you know, monetary gifts. And so that's something I know I'm trying to do with my kids as well. So let's get started talking secret shopping studies. We had a conversation a few episodes ago. I think it was 373, just really bringing more awareness to secret shopping studies and the value that can be created. But the focus today is going to be about what might be standing in the way of financial brands taking this step forward to make the decision to conduct these secret shopping studies. And we've highlighted three main patterns that we can see. And the very first one is they just don't see they have a problem. It's as simple as that. You don't know what you don't know.
That's right. So
talk us through this. I mean, and it's one of those areas where, you know, again, if you don't know it, you don't know you have a problem.
Yeah.
So how can financial brands combat this and maybe generate some more awareness?
I think simply knowing you might not know you have a problem begins to raise awareness that you might have a problem. I think about a lot of the conversations that you have with financial brands who are thinking about facilitating a website secret shopping study. They're like, is this for me? Is this the right decision to make? And I think the very first question is, have you ever conducted a website secret shopping study to begin with in the first place? And we know from our market research, 85 to 92% of financial brands have never conducted any type of digital secret shopping study, number one. The follow-up to that then is, well, do you facilitate in-branch secret shopping? And we see 90% of financial brands have actually facilitated some type of secret shopping. Then the follow-up question to that is, well, where are the majority of people starting their financial buying journey? And once again, if we come back to the data and to the research, 92% of people, more or less, go online. They have a financial pain point or they're looking for a product to solve that pain point, they start their shopping journey online in Google with a Google search. Then you're like, well, what about the other 8%? Where are they going? Well, the other 8% tend to go to their friends and family and ask their advice and their recommendation. But then through our research, the next stop on that journey is on the website that their friends or family referred them to. So in right. essence, 100% of people end up going online early in their financial buying journey. Now, where they end up for the application process and to get the account or to get the loan, well, that could be in the branch. That could be over the phone. That could also very well, in many cases, in today's digital world, be online. So if we think about, we don't know what we don't know, the complexity begins to grow because there are five different stages of a financial buying journey that in many cases have unnecessary friction and have, and financial brands have inadvertently injected and increased confusion, cognitive load, which results in people leaving the website before they even click apply, or once they click apply, abandoning the application process because of these points of friction, frustration, and confusion.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, one of the things that we talk a lot about, and I know you have a lot in banking on digital growth. It's, there is just this focus so much on increasing traffic and driving leads. And that's great. And that's wonderful. But if the middle or the bottom of the funnel is broken or has a ton of friction, it doesn't matter how many leads that you're generating. And, you know, in fact, I think that a broken conversion or negative conversion experience is worse than the lack of leads, because we know that if you have a negative experience, you're more likely to share that negative experience with somebody else. So there was really no point in all of this external marketing and driving all this traffic and getting all these leads if once they get to your page, the experience falls flat.
Great point about experience. I mean, we opened up today's conversation about a positive experience. I had a positive experience decorating cookies, you know, happy to share that story, you know, refer other people. But to your point, if I had a negative experience, I forgot what the data, and we've done research around this. It takes almost like 10 positive experiences to erase the amplification of a negative experience. In regards to conversion, why is that so painful? Like, let's break down each one of these stages of the buying journey. We're going to do this, and you could, I have three different models for this when I work with financial brands, but I think the most simplistic version for today's point of conversation is the time tested. We have the awareness stage, we have consideration, purchase, adoption, and advocacy. And then if we said, well, if we need to focus on just a few areas, let's go to the top of the funnel and let's just focus on awareness, consideration, and purchase. But let's reframe that to more practicality. And we'll call this TLC. And every person needs some TLC, a little tender loving care. Financial brands also need some TLC as well, which is traffic, leads, and conversion. Back to your point, financial brands think we want to maximize our digital growth. We need to go get more traffic. And there's multiple ways you can do that. The fastest, easiest, the quickest is you go and buy that traffic. You could then increase your SEO game with content, social media, lots of different ways to get traffic at the top of the funnel for a particular product line. But what good does that do if you don't know what you're losing in the consideration stage or the lead stage, yet alone the conversion stage? And so the way that we look at these website secret shopping studies is by identifying opportunity lost, starting with conversion, then looking at leads, lead loss, lead leaks. And then finally, it's the fun stuff. It's the traffic. Yeah. And really the traffic is the fun stuff, but we work from the bottom to the top instead of from the top to the bottom, because you identify the low hanging fruit in conversion, because you don't have to go out and get any more traffic. It's what are you losing today? And in some cases, it's millions, if not tens of millions, or even hundreds of millions of dollars in loans and deposits over the course of a year, 12, 18 months.
So that's the first situation that we run into all the time. It's that financial branches simply don't realize that there is a problem. Mm. The second thing that we run into is they may realize they have a problem, but it doesn't hurt enough for them to focus on fixing it. And we saw this very specific situation where this happened with a financial brand that we were working with. They identified a problem. And it was a very easy fix, but it was a very big hindrance to the experience. And we followed up a few months later and noticed that the problem hadn't been fixed.
Yeah.
And then we looked a month later, they still had the same problem. Talk us through this experience. I know you remember exactly what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And it is one that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. And that's where, when we facilitate these website secret shopping studies, we are surfacing a tremendous amount of awareness into opportunity loss. And for this one particular financial brand, They were losing, and this is not hyperbole, tens of millions of dollars in deposits, because this particular product, if I think about the amount of traffic that was being, you know, just coming to this page through their current activities, there was no easy way. Our website secret shopping study found that there was no easy way for a prospective account holder to apply.
Mm-hmm.
And this did not come from a qualitative study. This actually came from the quantitative side of the work that we do when we were running heat maps, click maps, and in this particular instance, a scroll map. And what a scroll map is when we look at the big data set, how much data is coming to a page on your website, how far down or how many people percentage wise are getting to 30% down your page, 50% down your page, 80% down your page, 90, so forth and so on. And this is a color coded map. So top of the page, you're getting 180%. It's green. It's fantastic. But the more you go down the page, it turns cold. So it turns a blue. In this particular case, this institution's primary call to action to open a checking account was at the very bottom of the page. And the reason why it was at the bottom of the page, the way they explained it, made a ton of sense. Like logically speaking, because we asked them, well, why is this down here? And they shared and we had the hypothesis that this was causing the pain, back to the point of the previous, they didn't know what they didn't know. And so through this study, we found 100% of people on a desktop, as well as a mobile device, never saw the CTA.
Yeah.
Never. And we also saw through click maps where people were attempting to take action, but they couldn't do anything because what they were trying to click on, it appeared to be a navigational button on the page, didn't go anywhere. And that leads to, in the world of website secret shopping, that leads to click rage. And so that increases, you know, we think about this experience of negative emotions, a lack of clarity, it's confusion. Confusion leads to conflict. And when you're in a repeated state of conflict, it leads to chaos. And in this particular case, it was click rage because they had an expectation to do something, but they couldn't achieve what they were looking to do. So they left.
And you know, this site, it was a beautiful site. And the content on the page was very well done.
I think they won some awards for this particular site too recently.
It was wonderful. I mean, they had a lot of great information, very helpful information, which is fantastic. But if nobody knows how to move forward in the process, that is a major issue. And I remember, this is probably will stick out to me and one of the most memorable deliveries that we've done, because the person who was, I forget her title, but the website was her baby.
Yeah.
And it, hearing that news, you could just see on her face, just this, I don't know if it was surprise, or almost maybe a little embarrassment, which is never our goal and our intent. And for whatever reason, though, the problem didn't get fixed. And it was a simple move the CTA to the top of the page, where people are looking or to where they expect it, which is what the data shows us. Mm-hmm. And it took months and months to see that change reflected on their website.
You know, this comes back to, and we talked about this on a previous podcast about website secret shopping studies, but the emotional impact that hearing your baby or your child is not as pretty. And that's not the best way to frame it, because something can
well behaved.
That's a better way to frame it, because a lot of times we don't really care what the website quote unquote looks like. I think there's an over index on how pretty it looks, because beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And you might think that you have this beautiful website and it's won some industry awards. Here's the thing. No one cares.
Right.
You care. Maybe your team cares. Maybe your organization cares. But if you go outside into the quote unquote, into the real world, and you're presenting this website to prospective account holders, or if what prospective account holders are coming to this website, they don't care how pretty it looks. They don't care that it's won these awards. They care about one thing: solving the pain that they have. Yeah. And they're looking for a solution, a cure. I'm not saying that design doesn't matter. User experience doesn't matter. It definitely does. What matters even more so, are we making it easy to guide someone from a present day state of pain to get them past that pain to an even better future? And in this particular case, there was no clear call to action to help do that. And so when people were visiting this particular page, great content, it was very pretty. Now what? And coming back to your point, no action, no easily identifiable call to action. And internally, the perception was, well, we have it. It's there. In the frustration when we shared this with this particular individual who was overseeing the website, they almost literally point by point went through the Kubler-Ross grief cycle. It started with denial. And this was within like a 60 to 90 minute delivery. Started with denial. Then they got angry. And they didn't express that verbally, but it was very clear through the body language. Then they started trying to like bargain back and forth. And that came through some follow-ups. And then finally they hit this period of like depression. And I remember like that vividly. And then it was acceptance. But it took them, was it like 6 to 9 months? When in reality it was a 5-minute fix. It was a 5-minute fix that cost them tens of millions of dollars over that 6 to 9 month period of time. And that's why it's so important. You can create the awareness. You can inspire action. But many times, these financial brands, you need some accountability to ensure that that action is taken and applied going forward.
Yeah, 100%. And that kind of leads us to the third point that might stop a financial brand from moving forward with a secret shopping study or even implementing changes is they may know they have a problem and that problem may hurt, but they feel stuck. And this is something we see a lot and we know how painful this is. In fact, I've had conversations just in the last few weeks. They feel like they cannot move and make progress because they are limited with their tech stack. And this is where we've been able to really take our engagement and this relationship a little bit further to work through some of these changes because of this complex, I mean, even just the word tech stack for me, and I'm not even in it. It like, I get the head explode emoji. So many moving parts and different, you know, things talking to each other. So I know you have one in particular experience you had with a financial brand who this was the case. They were very, they wanted to move further and faster. I mean, they were conducting, they probably conducted 5 secret shopping studies in a matter of months because they were ready to go.
I want to pause on that point real fast. Sure. We don't recommend that.
Yes. I'm glad you said that.
That speed and that cadence that this particular organization was cycling through these website secret shopping studies was really at a sprinter's pace.
Right.
I recommend more of a marathon mentality here, to where one focus for one product, one study every 90 days, because then over the next 90 day period of time, you can apply that thinking while another product is being secret shopped. But coming back to this particular organization, they had the appetite. They knew, and we were very clear and we were very honest saying, this is going to be a tremendous amount of knowledge that you're going to gain in a very short period of time. And the use case for this was they were building a new website. So they wanted to get as much information up front so that they could apply this thinking going forward into their new website. Well, what happened was very quickly, these website secret shopping studies surfaced some internal pains that extended beyond the quote unquote website. These pains permeated throughout the organization, in some cases, all the way up to senior leadership. Right. And that led to some early on, I would say, some uncomfortable conversations. But they were the much needed uncomfortable conversations, because for them to get the proper technology, to get the proper alignment, to get the proper buy-in, to not just build another glorified website, but to build a website that sells as part of a larger digital growth engine, they had to go through this experience. Temporary pain made people feel uncomfortable, but in hindsight and retrospect, they experienced long-term gain, not just from a value creation standpoint, but from increased alignment throughout multiple areas of the organization.
Yeah, that happens a lot. You know, we will start off working with just a marketing team on a secret shopping study, and we'll do one or two, or maybe even, you know, quarterly, and we will start to see other pain, other areas of frustration surface where we've then decided to, okay, let's bring in others within the organization. Let's get a group together, a cross-functional group together, where we can learn a common language. We can get on the same page. We can all talk to each other, because a lot of the departments aren't talking with each other. And so we've seen tremendous growth that way as well.
Yeah. Common language is so critical here. And I think that's the misunderstanding. If you're looking to level up your loans and deposits, and you think that if we go out and we get some new technology and we build a new website, but if we lack the alignment And if we lack a common language to create that alignment, then many times the pain that we're experiencing right now as an organization will in some cases be that much more amplified if we get the new technology. And so in some cases, we just need to pause. What can we do with what we have right now? How do we maximize that? And in some cases, these website secret shopping studies show there are low-hanging fruits that you can pick and you can make progress on in literally in less than 30 days, as we experienced before. But does the desire, the feeling to apply that thinking to change, is that greater than the desire, the feeling, the emotion to stay the same? And that's where, once again, the coaching and the accountability comes back to play to ensure everyone is moving forward together on the same exact page.
Yeah. So there you go. We've got our three, those are the kind of the three patterns that we have found that are stopping financial brands from moving forward. And it's, and just in summary, they don't know they have a problem. They don't know what they don't know. They know they have a problem, but it doesn't hurt enough. And that might be where the accountability comes in. Or they know they have a problem. They know it hurts, but they need some additional coaching and education moving forward to make those changes on their website. So this has been a really great kind of focused conversation on digital secret shopping studies. What is one action item today that someone could take, James Robert, who are looking to level up their loans and deposits through their website?
Let's come back to these three pain points. Let's start with just, I don't know what I don't know. Probably the fastest, the easiest way to gain some awareness into potential pain is on a quantitative study. You can do this yourself. Integrate some web tracking software, and you can run heat maps. You can run your click maps. You can run your scroll maps, and you can identify the patterns of pain, the common patterns of pain that are causing people problem that as a result are limiting your conversions. And when you identify those problems, in some cases, they're quick fixes. That's probably the best way, most simplest way to begin on your own, is just to look for some of these low-hanging fruits and identifying the patterns that cause people pain to create the awareness and go beyond, I don't know what I don't know. Well, now you know. Now you take some action, but maybe you need some accountability to ensure that action continues to follow through going forward into the future.
Thank you, James Robert. It's a great recommendation moving forward. We appreciate you, your time again, joining us today and digging into secret shopping studies.
Always fun to be able to share experiences that help others level up their loans and deposits.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of the Banking on Digital Growth podcast.